Well, good morning. It's lovely to be with you all this morning. And like Jeremy said, it's a pretty tough book to get through, actually. So we're going to have some fun this morning, I'm sure, but there'll be some challenges in here. And so what I've called my message today is passing the test. And so we're going to look at what John says and line ourselves up with what he says to see if we pass the test that he puts in front of us. So let's just pray together and ask God to bless us. Father, as we open your word, I pray that you'll teach us what you want us to know today. Help us to have open hearts and open minds. I pray that your word and the things that you want people to hear will stay with them and anything else will just disappear. So we commit ourselves to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. So our topic is passing the test, and I want to tell you that this morning I passed a test. Because I've been coughing and blowing my nose and things, I thought I'd better do a COVID test before I came to church this morning. And I passed the test, so you won't catch COVID from me. You might just get a head cold or something like that, which is probably not quite as bad. So today we're looking at 1 John chapter 4. The heading for my sermon is passing the test. In the background of the slides, you will see a microscope. As we walk through the teachings of Jesus today, I want you to look closely at what John says. I want you to look closely at your life. Do you pass the test that John sets before you? And when we use a microscope, we look closely at something, don't we? We look at it really in detail. So that's what I want for you today. So the book of John, of 1 John, is a letter John writes to Christians in the early church that he has some responsibility towards leading and teaching. And to counter false teaching, John states some important doctrinal declarations about who God is and about who Jesus is. John then uses those doctrinal declarations to show what a true Christian looks like as they take those principles and apply them to their lives. Once John has provided a clear picture of what a true Christian looks like, he challenges his readers to look at their own life and see whether they personally measure up to the standard that God requires of them. Are they a true Christian that is proven by the way that they live their lives, or a Christian in name only? The Apostle Paul asked the Christians to add a little bit more, the Apostle Paul asked Christians to do exactly the same, to examine their lives in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, where he says this: "Examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith." So John is an older man at the time he writes the letter. He addresses his readers with real affection as he refers to them many times as dear children and dear friends. However, in stark contrast to the affection for his listeners, John does not use soft language when he comes to calling out false teaching, false teachers, and those who would follow false teaching. In his letter, John revisits the same topic several times, adding more layers of understanding and applying further challenges to his readers to check that the way they live their lives fits with a true knowledge of who God is. So it's no surprise then, as we come to chapter 4, that after John affectionately addresses them, his readers, he is straight to the point. So let's read the first three verses of chapter 4. Now, hopefully you might have a Bible with you, either an old-fashioned real book or one that's on your phone that you can follow, because I'm not going to read all the verses that I'll be sharing today. So hopefully you'll be able to follow along if you've got your Bible with you. But let's read these first verses. Dear friends, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God. For there are many false prophets in the world. This is how we know if they have the Spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and indeed is already here. In verse 1, John says, do not believe everyone who claims to speak by the Spirit. John makes it clear that not everyone who claims to be speaking by the Spirit of God are, in fact, speaking by the Spirit of God. John goes on further. You must test them to see if the Spirit they have comes from God, for there are many false prophets in the world. Well, according to John, there were many false prophets in the world at the time that he was living. And we live in a world that has many false prophets today. So to make sure you're not being led astray by a false prophet or a false teacher, you must test what they say. You may be asking, well, how do I do that? The Bible is a big book and there's a lot in there. I'm not sure that I have enough knowledge to be able to do the testing required. Well, John goes on to make that easy in verses 2 and 3 to show his readers what to look for. And he says this in verses 2 and 3. This is how we know if they have a spirit of God. If a person claiming to be a prophet acknowledges that Jesus Christ came in a real body, that person has the Spirit of God. But if someone claims to be a prophet and does not acknowledge the truth about Jesus, that person is not from God. Such a person has the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard is coming into the world and is indeed already here. One of the false teachings in John's time was that anything physical that you could see and touch was inherently evil, while the non-physical spirit realm was good. This led to the false teaching on the humanity of Jesus. If Jesus is God, he cannot be God in true human flesh, as this would make him evil. So the false teachers taught that Jesus had to be a spiritual kind of being, not a true human being. The false teaching undermined the doctrine of God, becoming a human man without sin and dying on the cross for the sins of all mankind. John teaches that Christians will be able to know whether they are listening to a false teacher or not by what that teacher has to say about the truth of who Jesus is. And so that brings me to my first point. And my first point is, know the truth about who Jesus is. And I'm going to go back through the earlier chapters, chapter 1, 2, and 3, a little bit, just to look at what John said about the truth of who Jesus is. So back in chapter 1 and verse 1, John says, we proclaim to you one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. And this is what John said in his gospel, in the gospel account that John wrote in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. He says, in the beginning the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. So we learn two things here in these first verses. Firstly, that Jesus is God. And secondly, we learn that Jesus existed with God from the beginning. Then to silence the false teachers, John goes on to say, Jesus was a real man in a human body, not some sort of visible spirit-like being. Chapter 1, verse 1, John says, we saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. And so that brings us to our next point, that Jesus had a real human body while he was here on earth. All through the Gospel of John, we have records of Jesus in his earthly body. He was able to be a carpenter. He was able to feel emotion, to have sorrow and to weep. He was able to touch and heal. He was able to be angry as he overturned the tables in the temple, able to experience pain and suffering until he was unable to carry the cross that the soldiers then placed on Simon from Cyrene. He had first-hand experience of humanity of Jesus. He had seen him and touched him. In chapter 1 and 2, John talks about sin and the forgiveness of sin. In chapter 1, verse 7, John says, "But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." In chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, John says, "My dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only for our sins, but the sins of the whole world." So the next thing we find out, that Jesus is righteous. That is, he is without sin. And then we see the blood Jesus shed on the cross is sufficient to atone for the sins of the whole world. In chapter 2, verses 22 and 23, John says, "And who is a liar? Anyone who says that Jesus is not the Christ. Anyone who denies the Father and the Son is an antichrist. Anyone who denies the Son does not have the Father either, but anyone who acknowledges the Son has the Father also." So in these verses, John teaches that Jesus is our access to the Father. And the last point we learn about Jesus from these verses that John shares with us is found in chapter 2, verse 28. And John says, "And now, dear children, remain in fellowship with Christ, so that when he returns, you will be full of courage and not shrink back from him in shame." And in that verse, we learn that Jesus is going to return to this earth. So I asked you the question, as you look at the truths you believe about who Jesus is, do they line up with what John has been teaching you in his letter? John doesn't beat around the bush. If your truth of who Jesus is does not line up with what the Bible teaches, with what John teaches in his letter, then John says you are being deceived by the spirit of the Antichrist. John ends the section of verses by going back to verses he shared toward the end of chapter 2. John reminds his readers, as true Christians, they have the Holy Spirit living within them, helping them to understand the truth about God and his Son, Jesus Christ. In the second section of John 1 John chapter 4, John goes back to what I think is probably his most favourite topic, which is talking about love. However, it's not just a nice, gentle read. What John shares in these verses is both inspirational and very challenging at the same time. The verses are jammed full of statements about God's love that are just beautiful to read. But it seems with each beautiful statement comes a challenge to how we should love if we claim to be a Christian. So let's just read the verses. It's a bit of a long read, but they're really important verses, I think, for us to read and hear God speaking to us through John and what he has to say here. "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus in this world. Such love has no fear, but perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. And this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, "I love God," but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this command: those who love God must also love their fellow believers. As John writes this letter, he is challenging his listeners to know what true love is and to live out true love in their lives. So that brings us to our second point. We need to know the truth about genuine love. In verse 7, John states that love comes from God. And in verse 8, John declares that not only does love come from God, but God is love. This is a statement that some people struggle with in their lives. They ask, why is there so much pain and suffering in the world if God is a God of love? While that question takes some time to answer, so I'm going to leave that to the pastor to sort out another time, the doctrinal principle remains the same, that God is love. We can't get away from that. So our first point on the truth about genuine love is that God is love. And the second point, therefore, love comes from God. The challenge John gives in these verses is, if God is love and love comes from God, our choice to love others or not tells us about our relationship with God. Whether we are God's children or not. And that's quite a powerful thing to think about, isn't it? This is a brutal test that John gives here. Our love or lack of love declares the realness of our relationship with God. In verses 9 and 10, we have some of the most beautiful verses about God's love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Our next point on the truth about genuine love is God showed how much he loves us by sending Jesus, even though we didn't love him. The challenge that John brings in verse 11 is, if God loves us that much, then surely we ought to love one another. Verse 12 is an amazing verse. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us. Think about that statement there, that God lives in us. And his love is brought to full expression in us. The God of heaven, the God who is love, chooses to live in us. John repeats this truth five times in verses 12 to 16. So the next truth we have here about love is because of his love, God chooses to live in us. John says if God lives in our lives, then his love should be seen expressed in our life. This is how people can see God. This is how people can see that God lives in us, because we display sacrificial love that can only come from God. John says that the proof of God living in our life is that God has given us his Spirit. Verse 13, and God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he lives in us. We only have the ability to love others as God loves us because God lives in us. So the challenge to each of us is, can other people see and encounter God's sacrificial love expressed through our life? Can people see God's love? And that comes up on the screen there as one of the challenges for us. We move on. In verse 17, John says that as we live more and more in God, our love grows more perfect. As we see our love grow more perfect, it provides us with greater assurance about our salvation and of God's forgiveness. Verse 17, and as we live in God, our love grows more perfect, so we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. As God lives in us, that's the next point we're going to put up on the board. As God lives in us, we live in God, and we live in God, our love becomes more perfect. And the blessing that this gives us is that we don't need to fear judgment when we come to stand before God. In that verse we read, the test that God lives in our lives and we live in him is we don't fear punishment because perfect love expels fear. John closes out this passage on love with this final verse in verse 21. And he has given us this command, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. In John chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, Jesus says this, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So as I come to the end of my thoughts on 1 John chapter 4, how did you go on passing the tests? Does your truth about who Jesus is fit with what the Bible teaches, with what John teaches in his letter? Secondly, does your truth about genuine love fit with what the Bible teaches and what John teaches in his letter? You might be asking the question, what can I do to show genuine love? In verse 17, John talks about facing God with confidence. And the reason John gives is, we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. So how did Jesus live? He cared for the sick, the poor, the bereaved, the despised. He cared for his family, for his mother. He fed the poor. He showed love to the unloved. He met the everyday needs of everyday people. He taught about right living. He taught about God. If you're thinking of some ways that you could love others, I just put some thoughts up here on the board. And I'll just quickly go through them. I haven't written them in my notes, so I'll just read them through up there. Make a meal for someone who needs it. Do some housework, gardening, or cook a meal for someone who needs it. Give some encouragement to Jeremy, Rebecca, and Claire. They serve us in the church. Encourage them and our elders who serve us. Accept Claire's request to help at Ignite a few times a term. So Claire's been asking, are there anyone here that could give up a couple of Sundays a term to help with Ignite? maybe go and talk to Claire and say, I can do that. That's how I can show love to these young children. I can talk to them about God. Make an effort to meet new people who come along to church. Help with the catering team. Jeremy's been promoting that, people that can serve us in catering. Take someone out who needs a coffee and a friendly chat. Invite people to your home for a meal, especially those who are single. Give a busy mum a break from her children. Provide for someone's financial needs that you're aware of. Meet and help your neighbours. Pray for people, share the gospel. There are all ways that we can show that God's living in us by the way that we live out his love through our lives. Let's just pray. God, we want to thank you for the Apostle John. What an amazing man who spent time with you. He sat with you, he touched you, he saw you. And he could even write in his book that he was the disciple that Jesus loved. That was the close bond that he had with Jesus. And we thank you for the challenges that he puts in front of us to know who Jesus really is. That he's a real man in a real body that died on a cross for our sin so that we could be restored in our relationship with God, his Father, and have the hope of one day being with him in heaven. And we thank you for that. And so as we go out today, I just pray that you'll help us, Lord, to listen to you when you share with us how we can love someone else. Bring into our heart and minds the things that you want us to do. Help us to be the people that you want us to do, so that we can fulfill that promise there that we live like Jesus lived. Help us to be your children today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.